Hello, dear listeners. So I'm doing things a little bit differently in today's podcast. Well, I am interviewing Claire Besley, or I have interviewed her for this episode on how to heal yourself. And during the interview, which you'll find out shortly, I was just so fascinated by the whole concept. I said, I'm going to go away and have a session myself. And then maybe record a part two. A bit of a reflection, I decided I might actually talk about how the session went in this intro and then go into the episode. So you kind of get a feel of the context that way. So I thought I'd just read out what I just journaled. I've literally just come out of the session about half an hour ago and I have to pick up the kids shortly. But I thought I'd read out to you how I'm feeling and how it all actually went. So this phrase that just kind of came up towards the end was, it just is. And that sent tingles down my spine when that kind of came up and how it resonated. So here's what I've written. I've just come out of my first self-directed healing session via Zoom, and I'm feeling numb and emotionally exhausted. Christy was a great match for me, which Claire, the founder, had said. We had actually very similar journeys. I cried more than I've cried in a long, long time, maybe ever. I wasn't allowed to go into fixing mode. I had to feel all of the emotion and let those ugly tears flow out. No, pour out. Really feel my emotions and go deep into where it all started. So I saw myself as a three-year-old in a hospital after the birth of my brother. And feeling that confusion over becoming a big sister. I don't know how much of it was real, but the thoughts and feelings that came out of that experience was real. That little three-year-old Leanne is now sitting in my heart space, and I'm keeping her safe. I felt grief. I felt sadness. And some interesting things popped up. And my need to find the silver lining kept popping up too. I don't usually let myself feel. It's too painful to feel. I put everything in a box because it's much easier that way. And sometimes I open the box or it's open for me and I don't know what to do with all those undealt with emotions. So I put the lid back on and carry on. But it's okay to feel. I need to remember it just is. No need to overanalyze or control. I need to feel. I can feel sad. I have been abandoned. I feel grief and I struggle with trust. This is the start of my journey. I look forward to releasing the trauma. So yes, I've gone a little bit deep straight away for you, but I just wanted to, you know I've said in the podcast before, I'm not very good at being vulnerable. So I'm being 100% vulnerable now while my eyes are still tingling from tears pouring out and really going back into all those things that make me unhappy. And I look forward to seeing what the other side looks like. I will most likely book another session. But for now, it's just, it is the evening now. So I'm just going to have a very quiet night, drink lots of fluids and get through it. But I wanted to share that with you, be completely open, and then we go into the episode. So you'll see there'll be a very different Leanne in the episode, the typical bubbly me you're used to. But I just wanted to be very real with you for this intro. So without further ado, I'll let you get into the episode and you'll get a feel for what self-directed healing is all about. See you on the other side. Okay. I know I said we'd go into the episode now, but I wanted to actually jump in again. I know, just to put up that that tension and expectation about my interview with Claire. But I wanted to pop in again because it's been a month now since I had that healing session. And I thought you might want to hear how things have changed. So once again, being vulnerable here, one of the key things that popped up during my session, it was all about, my feelings of self-worth. And a lot of it, like a lot of the issues that came up were about friendships. And you know what? I realized that I've got to be more vulnerable to make better connections with humans around me. And you know what? 2 weeks after that self-directed healing session, I went to a wellness retreat, and there was someone there who I've known for a long time, but only kind of in passing, only ever having short conversations. And we realized how much we had in common. And going 2 weeks later, we've become, I guess, besties, or maybe not besties, but at least really good friends. And that was something that I basically dealt with during that session, about not having a really close friend. And that's something I wanted. So it kind of manifested into my world after that session, which is very cool. And also since then, I've also had some other social outings with other people who we've had real conversations with, like those deep conversations that I was craving and talked about with Christy in that session. So that was amazing. And yeah, I mean, there's a few other things that popped up too, but just that one thing has totally changed things for me, which is amazing. So anyway, I just wanted to give a little bit more of a positive spin, because I know I was a little bit overly emotional in that intro because I was very raw, obviously, but just letting you know from the other side. And I'm going to book another session today. It was so, I think I had to get all that stuff out and let go of that grief of abandonment from friends over the years, and to then open up the opportunities to make a really close bond with, you know, at least one new person. And there's a couple others actually I've formed a really good bond with in recent weeks. So give it a go if you've been on the fence. But yes, listen to the episode. I will let you into it now, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Welcome to the Marketing Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods, or maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. The show features a beautiful blend of guest and solo episodes covering marketing and business growth topics, as well as ways to improve your physical, mental, and emotional self. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I run a health and wellness copywriting agency while also offering content marketing training. So whether you're keen to outsource or DIY, my team at Right Time Marketing is here for you. Either way, we'll ensure your message is seen and heard by your ideal client. If you're keen to connect, feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Claire Besley. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And I'll just before we begin, I'll read out your bios. Everyone knows who you are. So Claire is an accomplished wellness practitioner, educator, speaker, CEO, and founder of Inspirited Solutions and Self-Directed Healing. As a leader in her industry, Claire has captivated audiences from intimate corporate boardrooms through to large auditoriums, festivals, podcasts, and more. In 2015, Claire created Self-Directed Healing, a cutting-edge process that enables people to resolve their emotional issues quickly and easily using emotional consciousness. And since then, she's grown her team to over 500 practitioners worldwide, and SDH is now practiced in 8 languages. Claire and her team are on a mission to raise awareness about the importance of emotional health and the impacts of the mind and body. Self-directed healing is quickly becoming the future of healing. Wow, that sounds all so cool. I would love to hear more about your business journey and hear more about this unique business that you've created and what's unique about it.
Yeah, sure. Look, it's actually a lot of people that meet me or sort of learn about what we do think that it happened overnight. But as a lot of your listeners would know, that's absolutely not the case. So, you know, the actual process that I created, it was probably 8 or 9 years ago now. But in terms of even getting to that point, I think it started from the age of 5, and I'm now 46. So it's really been my whole life journey that's taken me to this point. I'm certainly not an overnight success. And I guess, you know, the important thing for people to understand is that usually these sort of businesses that become successful or these processes that are created usually come from your own pain or your own life's journey or your own experience. So for me personally, self-directed healing was born out of, I suppose, being a young woman in an Australian society that was quite male dominated and, you know, being highly sensitive, empathic and emotional, but also being reasonably switched on, educated and intelligent. And really, I really struggled to kind of put the two together. You know, I didn't know how to, I suppose, have the emotional part of me exist in the workplace or even in my personal life. So I always felt that I was in conflict. So I guess, you know, self-directed healing process was created out of years of torment of not knowing how to integrate my whole self into my work, into my life, into society. And so self-directed healing was really born, you know, a few years ago now when I had a health scare. And at the time I had been working with, I'd been business coaching a lot of businesses. So I was doing life coaching, business coaching and working in the corporate world, typical woman, juggling everything as we do.
As we do.
Like, I can take more on, don't worry about it, you know? And I had a health scare and it was potentially cancerous. And I just never had ever really known how to process those kind of things. The body was quite foreign to me. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how it all works. And it was really confronting. And I actually had like a panic attack on the table at the doctor's surgery when I got these negative test results and stuff. And at the time I was business coaching someone that did theta healing. And I was like, you know, whatever that woo-woo stuff is that you do, can you just do some of that on me right now? Because I've got some problems, you know. And she did. And it had a really big impact. And then within the same week, I met a hypnotherapist who ended up living with me. And I had a realization. It took me many years to have, but I had a realization at the time that, you know, when it comes to healing the self, typically, you know, we try to heal the physical body first. But what I, through this process, learned was that as a coach, I was working with people's conscious mind, you know, helping them to reframe things, see the world differently, have a different perspective so that they felt better. I then learned that the hypnotherapist was really working on how do we subconsciously get you to let go of those patterns and blocks, you know, on a deeper level that you're not aware of. And then the theta healer works on what we call the superconscious, the energetic soul, if whatever you want to call it, greater collective awareness part of you that's connected to everything else, and sort of shifting on an even deeper level. And I just, one day, it was in my kitchen, and I just had this brainwave, and my mind went, hang on, conscious, subconscious, superconscious. Well, what if I started to send my clients to them? What would happen, you know? Because I'm just working with the mind all the time. That was my expertise. And we started to do that. And they got really good results. So we got so excited that we actually all ended up living together. People used to call us the angels, like the child.
All right.
We loved it. We owned it. And very quickly we sort of learned each other's skills and worked out that we could practice on each other and do two at once. And in the end, it ended up, you know, we'd have people come and we'd work on them, all three of us at once, work on someone for sort of 4 to 6 hours. And they'd leave a very different individual to the one that came in the door.
That would have been intense. What a success. Yeah,
every single one of them slept for a minimum of 24 hours afterwards.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so, look, you know, years later I then took that process and because I guess what I haven't mentioned is, you know, my father wrote books about the evolution of the soul and the spirit in the body. So a bit of a spiritual upbringing, which really enabled me to look at things a little bit differently. So I was able to sort of take all these processes that three of us were using at the same time, plus look at some others, kinesiology, a whole lot of other things, put it all in a big melting pot together, work out what was good, what was bad, how to improve it. And not only that, but what was really missing, and I think it's really relevant to the podcast that you run, it's so important, is empowerment. Because the issue is that every time you go to a practitioner or a doctor, they're telling you what's wrong with you and they're telling you how to fix it. And from my perspective, as someone that likes to know everything, I always found that very uncomfortable and very disempowering because it meant there had to be a certain level of trust that you put in that person, in that practitioner, to understand your body, your mind, everything better than you do. And I don't know, but it's never sat well with me. So once we sort of worked out this, I suppose, melting pot of different modalities and how to make them more powerful and work more quickly, I then wanted to make it empowering so that the client didn't have to be dependent on the practitioner, so that it was more the practitioner facilitating rather than this is what's wrong with you, this is how we fix it, and this is what we're going to do, and you don't need to understand it, I'm just going to do it now, you know? And so I guess it was a pretty scary thing to do, and it was quite a few years ago now. And I think the worst part was everyone I knew said I was crazy. So everybody, take note, take note. Everyone said, you can't do that. You can't create a process that people can do on themselves. How are you going to make money? If they come and see you once or twice and they then don't need you anymore, that's just a bad idea and you're going to fail and you shouldn't do it.
Oh, jeez. I love that negativity.
Yeah, and I know, right? But, like, I get it because they were caring about me and thinking she's putting all this effort and energy into something that's going to be futile. But and you know what? This was a real test for me because I had to stay true to myself because every fiber of my being knew, no, I need to do this. I have to do this and I can't listen to that. And I really went against logic. You know, all logic, rational thinking would tell you that is not a good business model and that doesn't make sense, you know. But my heart was kind of leading the way, which I think is also a really important message for people to hear, because I think we live far too much in our heads and not our hearts, and we don't back our heart enough, and I'm very happy that I did. And so I decided, you know what, stuff it, I'm going to do this anyway. Like, I'm just going to follow what I feel, my intuition, my inner voice, whatever you want to call it. And so I created the process. I started working with people one-on-one, and I think it literally was 6 months, maybe less, that I was booked out. I was working so many hours. People would, you know, I'd have a client and then suddenly they'd refer their grandmother in England and then their five-year-old son and all their friends. I actually had one client come and within one day recommended me 15 people.
Oh, wow. Okay. Session.
Yeah. So I realized very quickly it wasn't sustainable. But what happened was, so instead of, because the results were quite immediate because we're so thorough, the business model actually worked because the referrals were just overwhelming because it was empowering people. So I was much relieved. And then, you know, within a year, I then realized I have to train other people, because I'm not enough. And so now here we are many years later and there's hundreds of them in Australia and around the world now. Yep. And we run training every month, like online training. Last month we had I think it was a psychologist from a New York hospital do the training. She wants to put it into every hospital in New York. We've had psychologists do it now and become practitioners. And so it's just kind of grown. So I guess that's kind of the story of how it came to be. But, you know, it's very easy to look and think that it happened easily. But, I'm talking years. I used to live on two-minute noodles for a while there to pay the bills because I was so, you know, running on passion rather than maybe logic. So, but it's definitely one of those stories that tells you to follow your dreams and hang in there.
I love that. Yeah. So people basically, they only have a couple of sessions and that's pretty much it. But then it's in the referrals from that one person.
Yeah. So look, probably the minimum is four. Some people just have one and go, I'm happy with that. I got what I wanted out of that. Sometimes every now and again, you get someone that is just wants to go on and on and on and reach enlightenment, you know? So you don't say no to those clients. I mean, I do sessions very rarely. I did one today. I probably do one a week because I'm so busy running everything. Probably the minimum is four, but it's very different. If you go and do something else, you know, you can be going there for weeks. You know, really, you'll only have one session on one issue. You won't come back to the same issue. It gets resolved on the spot.
Oh, yeah, because I had people go to psychologists for years, right, for the same thing, and you're like, why isn't it working?
That's the question we get a lot. Why is this different to anything else? Why would this work? What's unique about it? Is this a cult? Like, we get everything, you know? And I suppose, look, I think it's so simple. Yeah. And I think it's very easy for your listeners to understand. You know, it's like we are not just a body. We are a mind. We are emotional. We are energetic. We are physical. We are everything. And if you're doing NLP or any of these psychology or talk therapies, they're just working with the mind. So, you know, from my perspective, no doctor is going to tell you, oh, you can be stressed, it won't hurt your body. You know, any stress, any emotion that we leave inside of us affects us physically, affects our emotions, and then affects us mentally. So our philosophy is we are we are one living organism and everything is together. So if you approach it as one and do everything all at once, then you're going to get a much deeper result. So in order to do that, though, you have to do something that no one wants to do, which means you have to feel your feelings. And, you know, we've created a lot of things in society to help us avoid that, you know, shopping, gambling, whatever, like business, working, like we sort of spend our lives trying not to feel. And I actually think that that's what's missing. We've started to view anxiety as this terrible thing, rather than it's just an emotion that needs to be processed. And look, it's not our fault, but the reality is we've been brought up in a world that says, you know, don't be angry. And if you're sad, be sad, but do it quietly or don't cry. You know, we've been taught stay in your heads, be rational, be pragmatic, be logical. So every part of us, when that negative emotion comes up, we want to shut it down and get rid of it. But it's got to go somewhere. Yeah. And that can come out in cravings, addictions, all sorts of things, illness. And so I guess, you know, this process is, I always say to people, you know, that ring me up and say they want a session, I'm like, okay, but I need to be clear. You know, this is not a process where we're going to numb you or reprogram your mind so that you never have to feel that pain. I'm actually going to take you into the pain and I'm going to get you to feel all of it, and I'm going to take you out, and it's going to happen really fast. So our goal is you have to feel to heal, and the only way is through. But let's just get in there and get it out and shift those beliefs and get all that energy and that emotion out of your body really quickly so that you can feel free within yourself and then go and expand in your own life, you know. So I guess that's the difference, is that we're not just working with the mind. If you release emotion from the body, you get mental clarity instantly. So instead of trying to shift the thoughts, let's just feel what we don't want to feel, and then clarity comes. So, I mean, it's probably a foreign concept to a lot of people, but it does sort of logically make sense when you think about it.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I'm really keen to do one of these in the near future, because I know, look, from those who listened to Alice's episode a couple of months ago, I went to the kinesiologist and I said, I've had this twitchy eye that I've had every single day for about 10 months. And the couple of doctors just dismissed it, saying, yeah, it's just a muscle thing. An optometrist said, I can't see anything there. And ultimately she said, you're just very stressed. And she gave me some what do you call it, drops to have under my tongue for like a month. And I can say my eye very rarely twitches now. And it was something I was doing every single day. But yeah, I mean, I know, look, I say I'm a positive person. I like to put myself out there, but the truth is quite often I just push, just, you know, I'm stressed or I'm upset about this. Oh no, silver lining. Yeah. And I'm probably guilty of constantly pushing that down because I'm not very good at being vulnerable. I've got this thing where I don't like crying in public. Like I've only let very select people see me cry. And so if I get emotional with anyone else, I had like sips of water, or I change the subject, yeah, or I walk away. Because yeah, I'm like, I can't be seen as vulnerable. I have to be seen as strong constantly. Yeah. So I know I'm guilty of that. And so I'm really interested. I'm break down one of these sessions.
We all know vulnerability is where love happens, right?
Yeah.
The more consciously vulnerable we are, the more full we're going to feel, the better, more fulfilling experience of life we're going to have, you know. And vulnerability comes from feeling emotion, processing emotion. And I liken it to food, you know. This is my best analogy. When you eat food, you have to metabolize the food. If you eat and you leave it in your stomach, you're going to get sick. Emotion is the same, you know. We have to process emotion, and this is a natural way to process it, by allowing feeling. But society so often really just lets it get stuck, because we trap it inside ourselves and it doesn't come out. And sometimes it's going to take vulnerability for you to allow yourself to feel that and move it through. I just get really excited about the thought of living in a world where people are so much more vulnerable, and vulnerability creates more love, more compassion, more understanding. When you're like that, people respond to it, you know. So I do really have a vision that, you know, over time, we will all evolve to that higher state of enjoying feeling our emotions, no matter which emotions they are, understanding that it's just something that needs to pass through us rather than something we have to run from. Because I think, you know, we're the only species with this gamut of emotion. Yet we're, and it's what makes the great artists and the great painters and the great songs, you know. Yet here we are doing everything we can not to feel them. So you can't have the high without the low, the grief without the joy, you know. We've got to start playing it like a piano and enjoying that harmony rather than, oh, I'm just not going to play that end of the piano, and I'm just going to stay up here, and if I can't, I'll just be numb because that'd be better. You know what I mean? So I guess that's where we come from. It's really about love and life and living a colorful life rather than just surviving. And I think so many people are actually still just surviving, and they don't actually realize because they're spending so much time trying not to feel, they don't want to feel their pain from the past or whatever it might be, and they're just not fully present. I mean, even how many people listening to these feel like they're fully present in their lives? Like, I can ask you, out of 10, how present are you right now in your life? And I can guarantee you there won't be many people above a 6 or 7, if any.
If they're honest with themselves, yeah.
That's right, you know, and it's something, it's a question that everyone needs to ask themselves. And another question I'd get everyone to ask themselves, and this is a heart question, you can't answer this with your head, so it's a take a deep breath, sit in your heart and ask yourself, how valuable do you really feel out of 10? You know, in how valuable do you feel? How worthy do you feel? How loved do you feel? These are questions we don't ask ourselves. These are questions that help us as practitioners to assess how emotionally healthy you are. And honestly, all those numbers need to be above a 7 or an 8 for you to be having a great life. And if it's anything below that, then there's work you need to do. Because, you know, how much you feel compassion for yourself is what is going to determine your ability to process emotion, move through things, become empowered, live the life you want. Most clients we see have self-blame at 10. You know, shame is up at an 8, guilt is up at a 9. And these are happening subconsciously and consciously all the time. How can you possibly live a fulfilled, inspired, magical life when deep inside you feel like everything that's happened to you is your fault and you're guilty and you're responsible? So these are the conversations that people usually only have with their therapist, but I want to get society to a point where we're having them every day with each other and we're actually caring about how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah, because, I mean, I personally, these D&M type things happen very rarely. Like with when I'm out with friends, like conversations kind of stick to, yeah, jobs and kids and husbands and it very rarely goes really deep into how you're honestly feeling right now. And then when it does, like if someone's going through a hard time, it's just, I have no idea how to deal with this because you don't often go that deep. And so, yeah, and I get a little bit frustrated by the more surface level conversations. I would like to go deeper, but I also don't know how to do that. And it's
look, I think that's a really good point. I'm so glad you raised that because I think, I know I've said this in other interviews, but the are you okay movement, you know, we're all about asking everyone if you're okay. But my response to that is, and what do we do when they say, no, I'm not? Where's the script? You know, if you're going to ask someone, are you okay? And they say, no, I'm actually not. I've been self-harming and I don't want to be here. What do we say? No one knows, right?
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, this process is so important because what we do in that situation is the typical response is, no, everything's going to be all right. Your life's going to be great. So as soon as we start doing that, we're denying that person those feelings instead of actually letting them feel like that because we're so scared to have someone in front of us in pain. Because it makes us think of our own pain and we don't want to feel that either, you know. So instead what we do is we flip the lid on that and we say, you know what, maybe you just need to say out loud, I don't want to be here. And how about I just sit here with you and feel it with you? Then that person feels heard, loved, connected, free to speak, not judged, not, you know, pressured that, oh, my God, I better tell you I do want to be here because I don't want you to feel guilty knowing how I really feel, you know. And so it's just about becoming healthy enough within ourselves to be able to hold that space for the people we love instead of trying to smooth everything over superficially so that it doesn't create discomfort in us and they are left feeling even more alone. But no one's writing the book on this or telling us how to do this. And I suppose that's the process that we've put together, that we've created, that really I think it just actually creates a lot more love and safety in the world for people to express. And I can tell you out of the thousands of clients I've had that have been suicidal, I have never lost one. And most of them, it's been one session to resolve that issue. And I know it sounds crazy and far-fetched and like, how can that be possible? But it's just very simple. We actually go in and we deal with that part of them that doesn't want to be here and we allow it to be fully felt and processed so that emotion leaves, you know. And it's the same with women that want to have kids and they just can't. You've got to go into what, I might never have another child, and how does that feel? Because there's usually all this anxiety and pressure in the body that's even prohibiting the body from doing that. So infertility is a really exciting one to work with. Abuse is the same. But sometimes we just get really successful people that just can't reach through that glass ceiling because of their own limiting beliefs, or it has never happened before, why would it happen now? And it's just about emotionally clearing those blocks out of the way so that they can allow it to happen. Rather than use force energy to go, now I'm empowered, I can get there, maybe it's just about letting it happen and getting rid of your resistance to success, which is very, very common as well.
Yeah, because I'm doing, I don't know if you know the pillar code, and it's with, yeah, energy theater healing type stuff. And I started it, oh, maybe just maybe 10 months ago or so, I think it was during lockdown. And my business, like as I came out of lockdown, last 6 months has really picked up. And for ages, I'm like, I'm doing all the right things. Why is it not working for me? Something's not right. And obviously something's released because suddenly it's all working. And I actually, though, I want to ask you, so how does a session actually work? Is it a series of questions, but hard questions shot at you? Is it any meditation? Like, what can people expect from self-healing sessions?
Yeah, so basically what we have is we have it's a very structured process. So we do have a whole lot of things that we ask you at the beginning, but it's more just ratings out of 10. So how valuable do you feel out of 10? How much guilt do you think you're carrying out of 10? So we ask a whole lot of things that enable us, then we'll hear your story. So if your relationship with your family is a 2 out of 10, we might say why. And we hear the story, and from there we're able to listen and pick up through language what are those beliefs that you have. And you might say, you know, I don't talk to my family because my mum doesn't love me, she left me when I was 3. So we straight away know there's abandonment stuff there, you know. So we're just able to have a really frank conversation that allows you to be vulnerable, that also gives us the information we need to go, where's the pain? Where is the real pain sitting in this person? And from there, we kind of come up with a list of beliefs that you might be holding. So it might be, I'm a bad mum. It might be, I've hurt my children. It might be, I don't want to be here. It might be, I don't belong. So we really look for what are the core beliefs that are sitting underneath the stories that you're telling yourself. A lot of men are ashamed of being male. This is one I have continuously encountered.
In this day and age, I know there's so much male shaming.
Yeah, there's so much male shaming that I couldn't tell you how many men have sat there and their belief is, oh, I'm ashamed of being a man. You know, they carry the trauma altogether. And so once we have, I suppose, identified what they are, instead of us muscle testing and saying it's this is that, what we do is we get you to take some deep breaths and we actually ask you to say the belief out loud. So I can give you some really good examples of that. But then maybe that's a bit controversial for this. But basically, you know, if someone has a belief that they're not good enough, even though in your head you might know you are, sometimes just saying it and listening to the tone, you might get a feeling in your body when you say, I'm not good enough, and you go, oh, I felt that. Oh, sometimes people just start crying. The biggest giveaway is when we ask them to say the belief and they say, I don't want to say that. That's when we know we're on the money. That's where the pain is because you can't even say it. You know, so what it is we're actually empowering the client to do a bit of self, you know, introspection, say it out loud, and how does your body respond? How does your heart respond? So whenever there's an emotional response, we go, okay, this is where our work begins. And then we ask them, where is it in your body? You know, and quite often where it is in the body is also where they might have a physical ailment as well, because it's stored and it's been there since they were 5 years old, you know. And I suppose what's different and what's unique is that instead of just getting them to sit in it, we like go, let's feel every little bit of it. You know, so we get it up to a 10, they're deep breathing, you know, they're feeling it right. It's a very, very, very physical experience. And then once you know they've started to, because I suppose you can't hold any emotion for longer than 60 seconds, but we spend so much time trying to avoid it. So we just amp it up, get you to feel it, get it all out, and then it naturally drops. We never ask you to let it go. It naturally drops. And then from there, we go, all right, let's now have a little bit of a look around at when this first began. When did you first feel not good enough? And I remember I had one woman, she was 75 years old when she came to see me, and she had a belief that she wasn't good enough. And so when I was doing this, we were getting a lot of it out. It was very emotional for her. She'd carried so much for so long. She had divorces. Nothing's ever worked. Relationships haven't worked. She actually had a memory of when she was 5 and her father was standing behind her and she was trying to tie her shoelace. And because he was watching, even though he said nothing, she couldn't tie it properly. She felt really embarrassed and she decided she wasn't good enough. And she carried it from 5 to 75. This is 70 years of pain and believing and manifesting never being good enough because she's so attached to that, you know. And so releasing that, then the rest few years of her life improved dramatically because she wasn't carrying this belief that she's not good enough anymore. So that's sort of, and then at the end, you know, it's quite an in-depth process. And then at the end we retest all of the numbers and we see what's changed. Has your self-worth gone up? Has your value gone up? Has the depression changed? You know, we look at everything and we sort of data analyze and go what needs to be worked on, what has been done, what hasn't. But the shifts we see are incredible. People who do our training, when they become a practitioner, that we do a 3-day training and they get their own healing and they do their own healing, and they always say it's the most incredible 3 days of their life because they've just shifted so much out of their body, out of their heart, out of their head. And they can really start to become who they really are rather than the blocked, run down, exhausted, burnt out version of all these horrible experiences and beliefs that have been haunting them unconsciously their whole lives. So it's quite dramatic stuff, I suppose, but a lot of fun when you get into it.
Yeah, see, I was, you know, for me, for example, a few years ago, I did professional speaking training, and I have all these people who had massive traumas in their life, like abuse, or like, you know, had massive disabilities as a response of as a result of accidents. And here's me going, oh, my talk was just about having low self-esteem as a kid. And so for me, quite often I push down my issues, like, oh, there's so many other people worse out than me. Like at the time of recording this, you know, my hubby gets COVID. I'm like, oh, great, we're going to have a week of isolation. And what if anyone else gets it? It could be extended. And a lot of other people have been through this the last 4 months. We've somehow just got it now. But, you know, then I'm saying to myself, no, there's worse people out there. I know someone I saw this morning, her daughter has leukemia. And there's this other person who parents just died. So it's not that bad. And so I'm trying to push down.
We're taught to do that. You know, our parents used to say, what about all the starving kids in Ethiopia? Like, guilt. Yeah. And we do it with positive affirmations. Like if you talk to any of my staff, they'll go, just don't even mention positive affirmations around Claire, because it's my pet topic where I go off. Because the thing is, you cannot look in the mirror every day and say, I love you, if you hate yourself. You can't put a positive on top of a negative and think it's going to go away. Yeah. And so what you're doing is you're justifying not feeling your stuff by saying everyone else is worse off and therefore I don't matter. My feelings aren't relevant. But everybody's experience matters. Everybody's feelings matter. Your feelings matter. They're your feelings. They're in your body. They affect your life every day and your perception. You've actually got to learn to love yourself enough to go, actually, I matter most. Mm-hmm. And I matter more than all these other people, because if I'm not okay, I can't help any of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so with the positive affirmation thing, if you don't feel good enough, instead of saying I am good enough, try saying I'm not and feel the pain. Go through it.
Don't make it go through it.
It's not going to kill you, you know. Yeah. It's going to kill you if you don't.
Yeah.
If you leave it in there and it builds up over time, it could kill you in many ways.
That's what the
misery, unhappiness, and lack of success, lack of love, you know, it's like just get it out. You know, I had someone say to me recently, he's in his 40s and we were talking about doing a session. He goes, I really don't want to do it. And I said, why? And he said, because I'm very scared that if I do it, I'm going to look back on the last 40 years and think I've wasted my life. And I said, you know what? It might happen, but it's better to have that happen now and enjoy the next 40 than do it when you're 80. And then, you know, like,
yeah.
But you know, we get two kinds of clients. We get people that are on their knees desperate because they've waited for something so bad to happen before they realize they need to change. And they're the ones that will do anything, and they'll go in deep and they'll be vulnerable and they heal fast. And then we get the ones that are like, life's pretty good, but I just want to get to here a little bit further. And it's a bit harder because, you know, they're not as desperate for it. There's not such a burning desire. So this is my comment to everyone listening. You can wait for that crisis moment to happen until you're on your knees and you go, now I have to deal with it. Or you can be proactive and go, you know what? I'm going to invest in the long term in my life. And I know there's some stuff there. How about I clear it now before it builds up and becomes overwhelming and I end up having a heart attack or whatever it might be, end up depressed, you know? And that's just a choice that everyone can make within themselves, within their hearts, whatever they feel. But I can tell you, please throw the positive affirmations out the window. It's much more productive to feel the pain, to go, I'm not good enough, I hate myself, sit in it, feel it. Where is it in your body? How strong is it? Just challenge yourself to feel the emotion, because if you do, it will pass. It's the repression of it, and it means that it builds up and we get really lost. If we were just metabolizing emotion as it came up each day, the way we do food, we would have very emotionally healthy society. And I would be, my work would be done. I'd be wrapped.
So I was like, yeah, crying's not a good thing. Don't cry, you know.
Let yourself
friends feel. Who cry at a drop of a hat. And I'm like, how can you cry in a movie? It's just a movie. Like I wouldn't even let myself even feel that.
Look, there's a big difference between crying, like in your head, and feeling the feeling in your body. There's a very big difference. You can cry because you kind of feel sorry for yourself and you're in a bit of a victim state. That's common. But crying because you're in your body, there's actually grief trapped in there. It's a physical grief or a physical anger. So what I would recommend to you and anyone listening is when you are going into emotion, the number one thing you have to ask yourself is, where am I feeling it in my body? If you start to connect with your body when you're feeling emotion, that's what's going to metabolize it and allow it to leave. If you're just doing it from a head mental space, you're not achieving anything.
Yeah, because I want to ask so about the difference between emotional health and mental health. So mental is all kind of like up here in your head, and all thoughts and just having clarity of thoughts versus, the emotion. Yeah,
it's a really important question.
Yeah.
Because I worked a lot in terms of working on people's conscious mind, reframing, getting them to think differently. Like, let me put it this way. If we took mental health as the thing we should be focusing on, right, then I should be skinny because my mind tells me every day what to eat that's healthy, you know, what I need to do, but why don't I do it? It's not my mind stopping me. It's because I have beliefs buried inside my body that are so much stronger than any thought that I have. So we're wasting our time trying to use our brain to make us do things differently. Right? The key is it's like the subconscious, you know, we're 90% subconscious, 10% conscious. So it doesn't matter how many times you tell your kid do it this way. If they've got pain, they don't want to do it that way, they're not going to. So the way we look at it is emotional health is about how emotionally healthy are you? How valuable do you feel? How worthy do you feel? Where's your guilt? Where's your pain? How much have you got? And where is it in your body? And how long has it been there? And if we start to allow someone to feel emotion, so let me give you an example. When I was a life coach, it would take me up to 3 months to shift someone's mental health, their mindset, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Now that 3 months I can do in 35 minutes and I don't even ask you what you think. I just get you to feel.
Wow.
And by feeling and releasing that emotion, your mental health automatically, you have more clarity of mind. So there's a misconception that thoughts create feelings. It's actually the deep feelings that have been inside you for so long that are patterns, that are programmed, that throw up the negative thinking. So why bother with the thoughts when it's a symptom? Let's just go straight for the emotions, straight for the feelings, and that just takes care of itself. So that's why, you know, it's my dream in life to change the conversation from mental health to emotional health, because when you have emotional health, mental health becomes automatic.
Yeah. So this is what you think the future of healing is, being vulnerable and having that emotion.
100%. I think if we can shift the conversation to one about emotional health, if we all start to work on ourselves emotionally from a physical perspective, where are we feeling it? What are the associated thoughts and beliefs? And we start feeling our emotions when they come, we will have an extremely healthy society. We will become physically and mentally healthy as a result of being emotionally healthy. Emotions sit in between thoughts and the body. So it's like if you hit the heart, the head heals, the body heals. If you just work on the mind, it doesn't so much affect the rest. So it's a faster way. It's like going to the root rather than treating the symptom and putting the Band-Aid on.
Oh, yeah, and I know that, yeah, okay, I'm totally going to do one of these sessions and then I'll do a spin-off episode and tell everyone how it went.
Sure, sure.
I've shared with things and just recently I shared about my dancing for a charity event that I did and how when I didn't get a place, it brought up all this childhood trauma of not getting placed in dancing competitions as a kid. And I really just, I'm getting emotional now.
It's actually in your throat. Can you feel that right there?
Yeah.
Take a deep breath and just feel that. Just allow yourself to feel that in your throat.
And what happened at the same time was that, so that whole not being valued, not being good enough, at the same time, meals were served during my dance. So that disrespect of 2.5 minutes, they could have waited.
Yeah.
When I heard that, so it was like a double whammy of not feeling valued.
And there's so much sadness.
So much.
And but it's so not I'm about that. It's about it. Before, and you even know that.
Yeah, and I know, and I'm very self-reflective. So I know that that's from me as a kid. All those times, all those years, because I started when I was 2.5 and I was doing physical culture dancing. I've been doing it my whole life and there's people who had done it for 2 years and will get places and I wouldn't even get to the finals. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? So I know, and that's just one small example of all this kind of stuff. But, yeah, I think this is going to be really fascinating.
But
I
want to give it a go. That little two-year-old needs you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's I have to go in and have compassion and be like, you know what? You are good enough and I love you.
And as a mom, like my eight-year-old is very similar to me and I see so much similarities. I'm like, okay, what would my eight-year-old self need? And I try to be that. Yeah. My five-year-old's a little bit more quirky and different. So I have to find other ways to do what she needs. But just I'm going to wrap up shortly, but how can someone achieve optimal emotional health and well-being as a business leader? Some quick tips.
Yeah, look, I think as a business leader, what I've noticed even in myself is that my blocks block my business, even at the level that it is now. Yeah. I personally know, because I've also worked with a lot of business owners and I saw it in them, that every ceiling I hit is something I have to go internally and resolve in myself and then it'll open up. So I think when you're running a business, it really comes down to accountability and responsibility for your own well-being. And if you don't sort of understand that your business is an absolute reflection of you, then it's never going to be what it could be. You know, so whether, you know, you choose to go and have a self-directed healing session or become a practitioner or go and do whatever other path you want to take to get there, I think to be truly empowered and to be unlimited, because we all want to take our businesses wherever they're supposed to go to their full potential. So really recognizing that the limitation in your business is not an external thing to be upset about. It's a limitation within you, and that's why it's not manifesting to where it needs to be. So I think the first step is really realizing that, accepting it and taking responsibility for it and deciding to do something about it.
Love it. Oh, love it so much. So I've really enjoyed this. I could keep going for hours.
Yeah.
I have a few questions I always ask my guests. And one of them is, I think you already kind of answered this, the best form of marketing for your business. I'm guessing it's the referrals or is it something else?
Well, when we were just doing one-on-ones, it was definitely a referral. I think our challenge now is we sell training for people to become practitioners. The biggest challenge we have is people don't know about it. So what we find it helps us a lot is all of the social media advertising that we do. So Facebook, Instagram, creating awareness. That's probably what I would be recommending, which is maybe what, you know, you do as well. And the second thing is I haven't been able to, but it's just the public speaking and engaging with people. You know, when I was small, I'd just go to the pub and I was so enthusiastic about what I did. I'd tell everyone I met and I'd have eight clients for the following week.
Oh, you know? Wow. So
I think you've got to really embody and believe and, you know, don't be like, oh, I can't talk about it. It's my work. People are going to be like, what's wrong with you? I think you've got to live it, be it, and embrace people into what you do on a daily basis.
Love it. And how do you take care of your own health and wellness?
I have a lot of self-directed healing. Luckily, I have a lot of practitioners. So, yeah, I'll sometimes do it on myself and it's obviously always nicer to be guided through it. So I do that and I run every day. I'm constantly working on myself daily.
Fantastic. And how can people connect with you? It's the final question.
Yeah, well, very easily. You can just go to our website. Do you put all that in the thing or do you want me to say
it? You can say it and I'll put it in the show notes.
So it's www.inspirited, that's INSPIRITED, inspirited.com.au. And we're on Instagram, Facebook, I don't know, we're on everything. We're very easy to find. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Claire. I've really enjoyed this. I find it very fascinating. I'm really keen to give it a go. I'll stop recording and go book in the session. Maybe the next step. But thank you. This has been great. I appreciate
it. No worries. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for your energy, what you bring to the world.
Thank you. And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and a review via Apple Podcasts. And grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials to get the message out there. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. You can also find me on Instagram under LeanneShelton247 or book in a free 15-minute chat, because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.